Mick Begich, thank you so much for being here.
Great to be back in Ketchikan. Thanks for having me.
All right. And so for folks who aren't familiar with you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, so my name is Nick Begich III. I am from Alaska, as most people would guess. I grew up down in Florida with my maternal grandparents, and I was raised down there after my parents split up. And we grew up K through 12 Christian school, raised in the church, ended up at Baylor University, where I picked up a business degree with a focus in entrepreneurship, and went back to work in the corporate world as an investor relations manager. So basically my role was to be an interface between Wall Street analysts and executive management. And thought I was doing pretty good. Asked my girlfriend's dad if we get married. He said no. And he actually said, I'll tell you what, y'all can get married if you get your master's degree first. So I went back, got my MBA right away, and was at Indiana University with a focus in information technology and decision sciences, risk analytics, forecasting, these sorts of tools. Went to Ford Motor Company in Dearborn, Michigan, and I was a technology manager there. I actually worked in the car group cross-functionally for a little while. They told me I'd get Mustang. I got over there, and they said, well, actually, someone else picked up Mustang, but you've got minivans. So I had the minivan programs for Ford on behalf of marketing. And then eventually, you know, decided to move back to Alaska. Thought we'd give this a try. We didn't think we'd be here for more than a couple years. And I think that's probably a story that a lot of Alaskans have. We've been here almost 20 years now.
Yeah. And so tell me about why you decided to run for Congress.
You know, moving back to Alaska, you know, I really believed in the potential of the state. And the longer that I've lived here, the less I've seen us do with what we have. And, you know, down here in Southeast, we've got tremendous potential, not just in our world-class fisheries, but in the timber industry and what we're missing out on there, as well as the minerals industry with rare earths, actually down here near Ketchikan. And, you know, base metals and precious metals and critical minerals that our nation needs. And so, you know, I believe that we need to make an effective business case for the state of Alaska in Congress if we're to open up the state and really provide an important role for the nation going forward in the next several decades.
And tell me how, as a congressman, you would make that business case for Alaska.
Well, I think it's about building relationships in the Congress. You know, we can always preach to one side of the aisle or the other, but it's about carrying a message that will resonate to those who may not always agree with us. And, you know, I cite as an example, so many of the resources that we use today, whether it be in your phone or your car or batteries, right? They're coming from somewhere, right? Where are they coming from? They're coming from jurisdictions like the Congo, where they have virtually no environmental framework. They utilize child labor in order to extract these resources, and they provide 70% of the world's cobalt, which is a resource that's used in so many of these green technologies that we're talking about today. We have that resource here in Alaska, and we have so many other resources here in Alaska that could be used and should be used, because if we're going to extract it, let's do it in regions where we know we're going to do it well and we're going to do it right, and Alaska is one of those places.
Yeah, on that same note, I've been looking into the Inflation Reduction Act, the reconciliation package that was passed through the Senate and is now facing a vote in the House. I mean, what do you think of that package and its incentives for domestic mineral production?
Well, I think this package is very problematic. First of all, it's a climate bill that was renamed the Inflation Reduction Act. It does nothing to address inflation in a meaningful way. In fact, additional government spending is what has created the inflation that we're experiencing right now. So I think the bill is flawed in that respect. Obviously, we need to find ways to open up resources for the nation, but we need to make sure that it's done in a responsible way. And really, it should be done as single-purpose bills rather than sort of omnibus bills as this one came through the Congress.
I'm curious what you might do as a congressman in terms of fisheries. Obviously, fisheries are a huge issue here, both for the commercial side, but also for people who subsist on things like, you know, salmon and halibut, and king salmon in particular. We've been having issues with stocks of concern here in the Ketchikan area, and there are, you know, others throughout Southeast.
Right.
And then there's also the chum and the king crash out in western Alaska. So I'm curious what you see the federal role there.
Well, we really need to make sure we're monitoring and managing bycatch appropriately. I think that's one of the big issues. We hear about it on the campaign trail everywhere we travel throughout the state of Alaska. You know, bycatch is a serious problem. But there's other issues, too. You know, we've got issues with predator control in various regions of the state. We've got issues with, you know, perhaps there's too much pink biomass in the system right now. Food chain changes in ocean currents. And so we really need to make sure we're studying all these factors and assigning the appropriate weight to each factor if we're going to intervene and start to address the root causes of these problems. This is why, you know, we have the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. And it's really not the kind of thing that you want a politician addressing. Right, we need the experts addressing this. But I think that we need to be smarter about how we manage our fisheries. In the state of Alaska, we have what's called the sustained yield principle baked right into our state constitution. And the base concept is, you know, we need to make sure that we're managing our resources to the maximum benefit of all of Alaskans in a sustainable way. And fisheries are right up there.
So this race is sort of happening at a moment for... It's a strange moment for democracy, kind of, right? I'm curious what you might do to restore trust in democracy and our democratic institutions.
Well, I think trust really begins with transparency. Trust begins with transparency. And I think that people from all walks of life, people from all political persuasions, expect the government to be accountable to the people, to be by the people, to be of the people, to be for the people. The government must make every effort to inject transparency throughout the process. And, you know, we need to have confidence not just in our representatives, but how they got there, right? And I think that it's really important. You know, there's things that are being talked about in the Congress right now. I'd be a full supporter of restricting the ability for representatives to trade publicly held stock. Right? This is a problem. I hear about it from people all over the political spectrum who say, look, why are we allowing representatives to weigh in on policies that they may personally benefit from in a publicly traded environment? And I think that we need to expect our representatives to have a stronger ethic as it relates to the financial benefits that they may be receiving as a virtue of being in a position of authority.
I'm also curious about your stance on abortion, both basically, you know, both personally and then also like what you might do as a congressman. Like, would you support a federal ban on abortion, for example?
Right. So I really think that the Supreme Court made the right decision, and I'm a constitutionalist. I really believe in the authority of the Constitution as that sort of baseline set of law that from which all other laws derived, right, and tested against. And I think that the Supreme Court made the right decision in returning this issue to the states. Under the 10th Amendment, any power that has not been specifically authorized for the federal government is reserved for the states. We have a mechanism by which that Constitution can be amended. And, you know, if there's a will of the people to do so, they will do that.
So just to be clear on that, basically, it being returned to the states, you would not support a federal abortion ban.
I think it's better handled at the state level. And I think that we need to try whenever possible to localize, push down decision making down to the local level. I think that that's where, and we could talk about various other areas of government in which that is appropriate, right? Whether that be education or the fisheries issue that we just talked about.
Yeah. So there are three names on the ballot for the special election that's on Tuesday, and those are, you know, you, Sarah Palin, and Mary Peltola, and then Tara Sweeney also announced today that she's going to be a write-in candidate. I guess how do you distinguish yourself from the other candidates in the race?
Well, I think so often we talk about the need for us to refresh our representation, to have people that come from the real world, to have people who are not career politicians. And, you know, I think what we see right now in the mix is a lot of career politics, right? Sarah Palin likes to say that she's been in politics for 30 years. Well, what has she achieved in 30 years? I'm sitting here with you in Ketchikan, right? It took me 30 minutes to get across the channel. We could have had a bridge. Sarah Palin chose not to build that bridge. She had the funding for it. Chose not to build. Didn't think it was important. Where did the money go? It went to Wasilla and Palmer. It went to other areas of the state. to fix potholes. We didn't get any new roads. We didn't get any new bridges when Sarah Palin was here. But we got a lot of rhetoric. We got a lot of talking points. And she went nationally and said, look, you know, I killed the bridge, she called it, to nowhere. I don't think Ketchikan's nowhere. There's nowhere in Alaska. Everywhere is somewhere. Everywhere matters. And we can't have the communities of our state be put on a back burner for political expediency. And, you know, that's the problem. That's the problem with career politicians, is that they're more than willing to do it if they think that it will advance their career or give them additional standing. We can't afford to have that in Alaska. We've got to have someone that really can make a business case. And to do that, it's helpful if they come from a business environment. We have four ambassadors in the state, as I see it. We have a governor, we have two senators, and a House member. And the House member is just one out of 435. Now, you got to have influence. You got to have the ability to reach out. You got to have the ability to build those relationships. And if you're so polarizing as a persona, when you go down there to do that, people would literally vote against a Sarah Palin-style representative rather than for Alaska.
And I guess, how would you distinguish yourself from your Democratic opponent, Mary Peltola?
Well, she spent a great deal of her career in politics as well. And, you know, I think Mary Peltola is, you know, she's a very friendly person, but we disagree on policy substantially. You know, she's opposed to many of the drilling projects that are proposed for the North Slope. She is opposed to many of the minerals development projects in the state of Alaska. And so, you know, I am very much pro resource development. Again, whether that's oil, gas, coal, critical minerals, precious metals, base metals, rare earths, timber, fishing, or tourism, those are our resources here in Alaska. And you're not going to find a bigger advocate for those resources than me.
So Alaska is obviously an enormous state, lots of different communities and lots of different, I mean, I have never been anywhere other than Southeast Alaska in this state. You know, as I understand it, it's very different across all the state. And I'm curious how you as a representative would, you know, seek to represent everyone in Alaska.
You know, it's a big job. And if you're going to do the job as Alaska's lone congressman, you've got to be all over the state. You've got to be present. You've got to be engaged, right? Sarah Palin spent the last week out of state. She held a fundraiser in Minneapolis and then flew to Dallas. We're less than 2 weeks away from the election day. Where's Sarah's attention? Somewhere else. The focus of the representative has to be on the people. You got to be out meeting people on a daily basis. You need to be shaking their hands. You need to be listening to their stories. You need to understand what their problems are, what they believe those solutions are, and what the opportunities they see for the state, for their business, for their family, right? That's how you represent the people of a state like Alaska. So big, so vast, so many different constituencies, so many different baseline regions of the state, and you can't do it from Dallas, Texas.
And just a couple more questions. I wanted to get your reaction to the news of the day that the FBI seized top secret documents from the former president's home. I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I've said from the beginning we need to ensure that we have transparency in the process. The raid that occurred in Florida is unprecedented in our nation's history. This is the first time this has ever happened. And in our nation's entire history. And so because of that, and because of the fact that so many of us have lost levels of confidence in our nation's institutions, we need to make sure that we are doing everything we can do to inject transparency in the process. And so, you know, I'm encouraged to see that the Justice Department is coming forward with information relating to the raid on Donald Trump's private residence. And I would expect that they would continue to be as forthright as they possibly can be so that the American people know what is happening.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time. I wanted to open it up if there's anything else that you wanted to add.
I'm really excited to run for this seat. I'm excited to meet so many thousands of Alaskans from all across Alaska. Right? I think this is the fourth time I've been in Ketchikan in the last 10 months. And every time I come down here, for some reason, it's sunny, which is wonderful. I absolutely love it. And, you know, this is a great part of the state. It's unfortunate that more Alaskans don't get an opportunity to see Southeast Alaska. But I believe in the potential, not just of our region here, but of our potential as a state as a whole. We have the possibility to help solve many of the challenges that we are experiencing as a nation. But again, it's going to require that we make a compelling case in the Congress that resonates not just with one side of the aisle, but with reasonable people on all sides of the aisle that will recognize that if we're going to be developing resources in this world, it needs to be done responsibly and it needs to be done in Alaska.
All right. Well, Nick Begich, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me again. Great to be back with you.